Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. Afternoon ball galore today. Let's hit the scoreboard. Miami and Cleveland, the Indians now a big inning. They explode, open things up with a 6-2 lead there. Ian Snell, not good in his first game back. He gave up 3 runs, 2 earned on 5 hits in 3.1 innings. Kansas City all over Tampa Bay, 10-2 in the bottom of 9. St. Louis leading Milwaukee 5-1 in the top of 9. Washington up on Colorado 3-0, bottom 3. Texas and Oakland, these guys are scoreless in the bottom of the first. And Seattle and San Diego also scoreless. Just about first pitch right now, we got the Blue Jays in San Francisco. San Fran laying 125 at Toronto, 8.5. Pomeranz versus Buchholz later tonight, 6:40. We have Atlanta and Cincinnati. Braves minus 125, total 9.5. Soroka and Rourke. We have 2 at 7:05, Chicago White Sox at Baltimore. O's minus 125, over-under set at 10, Santana versus Means. Arizona versus Pittsburgh, the Pirates, they're laying minus 130, over-under 8, Kelly and Lyles. Two more games at 7:10, Detroit at Boston, the struggling Red Sox minus 225, total 9.5, Ross versus Rodriguez in Philly and the Mets. Phillies minus 135, total 9, flat, Velasquez and Vargas, 8:05. Dodgers minus 120 at the Cubs. Total in this game, 8. Bueller and Hamels should be a good pitching matchup there. 8:10. We got Minnesota and Houston. The Stros minus 260, over under 9. Stewart called up versus Verlander. And 10:07, we got the Yankees and LA Angels. Angels minus 115. 8.5 is your total. CC Sabathia versus Pena. The Brew Crew have signed lefty Gio Gonzalez to a 1-year deal for $2 million after the Yankees gassed him. Big Ben has a new brand new deal as well. The Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger signing a 2-year extension today. The deal is a 2-year extension added on to the 1 year remaining on his current contract. Big Ben signed a 4-year, $87.4 million extension back in 2015. After flirting with retirement, Roethlisberger is now signed to lead the Steelers until 2021 when he'll be 39 years old. He led the league in passing in 2018 with an amazing 5,129 yards throwing for 34 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. He's a 6-time Pro Bowler and a very solid 15-year career. The Dallas Cowboys have picked up the 5th-year option on star running back Ezekiel Elliott. That moves the stud through Big D to 2020. He'll be signed. It's going to pay him $9.09 million. He led the NFL with 1,434 rushing yards in 2018. The Ravens signing all-pro kicker Justin Tucker to a 4-year contract extension. This deal is worth $23.5 million and included $12.5 in guaranteed monies. Tucker is currently the most accurate kicker in NFL history, connecting on 90.1% of field goal attempts in his 7-year career. He's never missed a field goal from within 30 yards. Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch is reportedly going to hang up the cleats again. John Gruden had plans to bring the running back, but it looks like beast mode is going to call it a career. He played in just 6 games last year, averaging 4.2 yards a carry and 3 touchdowns. Me and Gabe talked about this one too. Bruce Arians still pissed. The Bucs' new head coach is seething about Tampa Bay's schedule, where the Bucs play 7 consecutive weeks on the road. They hit the road week 4 and won't be back home in Tampa Bay until week 10. Arians wants a redo. Game 7 tonight in hockey, Carolina and the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals in D.C. Caps minus 155.5. 2 more elimination games in the NBA as well. At 8 o'clock, the Utah Jazz are at Houston tonight. The Rockets laying 8.5, 212 with a win. Houston in round 2. Then the Clippers battle Golden State in Oaktown. The Warriors minus 14.5, over under 233. Golden State moves on with a win there. And in the EPL, it's the Manchester Derby this afternoon. Manchester City versus Manchester United. And we sit 0-0 at the half. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage. We're going to have our friend Mark Lawrence and Gamblu stop by on the show. We'll talk about game 7s in hockey. We got elimination games in basketball and a big baseball card too. So stick around, everybody. Red Heat and Rage Radio coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Let's roll. Game time decisions. Ready to play. The radio has begun. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart Radio. Now on YouTube as well. I am Gabriel Morency throwing it down. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. What's going on, Cam?
What's happening? Gabe's still pissed off about last night, but what are we going to do? At least SJ Sharkey came in, and what can you do? Hopefully win some baseball bets this afternoon, but still pissed off about the Leafs, and you know what, for Mike Babcock, a guy that gets paid that much money, man, me and you could have done a better job drunk changing the lines there. The guy puts on fourth liners in key situations. I got to be honest with you. I think this guy outthinks himself, and he's probably the most overrated coach in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, it was a very frustrating night last night. Frustrating night for the Toronto Maple Leaf organization. Frustrating night for me, Cam, that I had the under in the game, and Patrice Bergeron.
What a joke.
Pull the ultimate douchebag move. There's last second goals, bro. But
and then there's that.
The game was over. The series was over. Like it was a dickhead move to score there. It was. It is what it is.
That's a bad beat. That's a horrible beat. Like that. The fact is, a great call on the under. It looked like it was going to go over early. The game kind of settled down. And you're right, Morenci. Like just at the end of that game, that's the problem with these elimination games and totals. You never know what these douchebags are going to do. And I'm with you. I think that's absolutely crazy. But
I blame Bergeron, but Cam, I also blame Babcock. It reminds me of, I remember I lost years ago a total, and I think it was the World Junior Championships, and it was like Canada and Sweden or something, and Canada was winning like 5-0, man, and the Swedish coach like pulled the goalie, and it's like, dude, you're losing 5-0.
5-0.
The total was like 6.5-7 or something. Canada scored like 3 or 4 times, and he didn't even like put the goalie back in. Like, he didn't put the goalie back in. So it's just like face-off goal, face-off goal. All right, Babcock, you pull the goalie. You're down 3-1. I get it. You pull the goalie with 3 minutes left. Boom. They scored in about 30 seconds later. Bam. There's 2.5 minutes left. You're down 4-1. And then Anderson had a hard time getting in and out of the net. And then they pulled him with like 35 seconds left. You know, at that point, Cam, it's 4-1. You're on the road in Boston. There's 35 seconds left. It's over, bro. Like,
You know
what I mean? Like, do you want them to just score again and celebrate in front of you again? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, it's over, right? It's like, it just is. And it's just, all you're doing is allowing them to celebrate and prolonging the agony for you on the bench and just making it worse. And, you know, frustrating beat. And then you can't make this up. I had the Oklahoma City Thunder on a moneyline parlay.
Oh,
they got a 15-point lead. They fall apart in the last 2-3 minutes of the game, and Damian Lillard hits a shot from freaking 37 feet, bro.
Carnival shot from almost midcourt. Yeah, that was absolutely crazy, Gabe. I feel for you. That's the problem with gambling and these bad beats. That's horrible. Those are like Those are the two worst beats of the night, and you're on. I can't believe he actually put up that shot, let alone go in. But wow. I didn't even know what to say, buddy. Speechless. Horrible night for me last night, too. I'm sick and tired of cheering for losing teams, but this seems to be, you're a Buffalo Bills fan. You get it. I'm Leafs, you're Bills, and year after year, it's Groundhog Day. It's misery. It'd be a hell of a lot easier just being a Patriots fan. We might be happy once in a while.
Yeah, I feel, I feel somewhat sorry, and I see the similarities between being a Leaf fan and a Bills fan. The only difference is, like, the Bills are sort of like overachievers. You know what I mean?
Yes. The Leafs
the Bills don't have like everything at their disposal. Like the Leafs,
correct?
You know, like they have no excuses. The Bills, we've got excuses.
You sure do.
Lots of excuses.
Yeah, but hey.
All right, big time decision.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Rage our radio. We're talking about the brutal beats from last night. There's a bunch of baseball going on right now as we speak. We'll get you caught up to date with that in a couple of moments time. We do have breaking news. Tyreek Hill, if you remember, there was There was some. There was a story about the police being called to Tyreek Hill's house all the time, and maybe some child abuse. Maybe his girlfriend had referred to maybe that his kid had a broken arm or something. No charges filed. No charges will be filed. Kansas City police say that while they're disturbed by some of the calls and the allegations, there's not enough evidence to be pressing charges. So from a football standpoint.
A long time ago, right? We didn't know the whole story. We didn't know what happened. But there is where there's smoke, there is fire with Hill sometimes, man. And, you know, Kansas City, the cops are probably thinking, wow, let's pray he didn't do this. We need this guy as a receiver on our team. They're going to be a hell of a lot worse without him. He does everything.
Yeah, well, yeah, you never know. Goodell can still suspend him. Goodell does whatever the hell he wants to do. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence right now. We also see that Skins owner Daniel Snyder is taking over the team's draft. So, in other words, this is going to end well. And the big news, though, right now is Kyler Murray, in which who knows what's going on. Nobody knows. Maybe Mark Lawrence does if he has insight to what the Arizona Cardinals are up to. But the number's dropping right now. It's down to minus 400. And Kyler Murray didn't do himself any favors earlier in the day today as he stiffed a charity event. He didn't tell them. He just stiffed them. He didn't show up. And then he said he had other places to be. And now there's character issues and concern about Kyler Murray and how he's going to handle success if he's already stiffing people for charitable events. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence. He's never stiffed a charitable event. What's up, Mark?
Sounds a little bit like the Baker Mayfield saga last year when people were a little bit concerned about his off-the-field antics and what he was going to be like outside the locker room, but it panned out well for Cleveland, so I think it's a lot of smokescreen and just hype before the draft.
I think, you know, I think you're right. I got to be honest with you too. I was in the group that was wondering about Baker Mayfield's maturity level to be a quarterback in the National Football League. And listen, he's only been in the league for 1 year, so let's see what happens. But you know, he seemed to be able to channel that energy that he has in a positive way. And, you know, people do dumb things in college, but, you know, there's a lot of people that wondered about Murray and his sort of his personality a little bit, his full commitment to football. I think it's all garbage, Mark. I think he's locked in. I think Kingsbury's got his guy here. If they bring Kingsbury in, this guy's tailor-made for Kingsbury's offense. I think they've got their guy there. I still think he goes first overall.
I believe he does too, Gabe, and I think if you're making the case for the reason why, it's simple, because two reasons. One, Kingsbury and his offense, and two, they need to fill seats at that stadium in Arizona. You know, they're not going to fill seats with Nick Bosa starting at defensive end. They need to star, and that's what Kingsbury, his offensive playbook is all about, and he's the guy to orchestrate that, and I think it's just a natural fit for Arizona.
That's a great point. And it's hard now after sort of, and, you know, people have brought this up, the sort of prolonged public bashing cam of Josh Rosen doesn't do them any favors. Like, let's say they don't trade Josh Rosen. All right. And you and I agree, Josh Rosen, I think is could be a good quarterback, and maybe he still will be. He didn't get a fair shot, but Josh Rosen has been criticized so often. Like, it's a good point by Mark that if you're in Arizona, it's like, why am I going to buy tickets now? I heard you guys are going to get Kyler Murray all year. You didn't get him. We got this Josh Rosen guy that sucked last year. And even you guys didn't like him because you wanted to take Kyler Murray, but then backed out at the last second. I think it's going to be a good thing when this draft is finally over for Arizona, one way or the other, so they can move forward. But I still believe that Kyler Murray will be the guy taken.
I agree 100%, Gabe. I'm with you. This has been Kingsbury's guy. Remember, even before college, he knew about Murray. The linkage between them two, it's too strong. They've already gone out there. You talk about Rosen, too. The thing that really pisses me off, Gabe, is he's done nothing wrong. He showed up at voluntary workouts. He's dealt with this whole situation. He hasn't had one negative interview. Yesterday, you talked about Patrick Peterson taking his social media logos off of the Cardinals. He had a fight with a guy in the front office or whatever. Josh Rosen has been nothing but a pro during this situation. I hope he lands somewhere where they appreciate him. I'm turning into a huge Josh Rosen fan, Gabe.
It'll be interesting to see where he ends up. The Washington Redskins are reportedly out, and now Daniel Snyder's running things heading into the draft, which is just gold. Like, it's absolutely. Dude, they fired their GM last year, like the day before the draft or something like that. Now, because they thought he was drunk. So now Snyder's like, well, I guess I'll do everything myself. So, we'll keep our eye on the numbers. We'll get back to the NFL draft props a little bit later on, but let's talk some NBA, Mark. The Boston Celtics looked very, very good against the Pacers in the four-game sweep. And, you know, Boston have so much talent. They were labeled one of the teams to beat in the East this year coming into the year. They had an up-and-down year. There was some turmoil with the club. There's a lot of question marks about Kyrie Irving's future. But right now, they seem to be dialed in, Mark, and they seem to be on the same page on the court. They all seem to know their roles. And it's amazing what winning a couple of games will do for team chemistry. But they've actually been playing well the last couple of weeks going in to the playoffs as well, Mark. In your opinion, are the Boston Celtics sitting at plus 235, last I checked a couple hours ago, are they a live dog against the Milwaukee Bucks in this series?
I think the Boston Celtics were a live dog, Gabe, before the playoffs began to win the Eastern Conference, just given the fact that there's a ton of value to this basketball team with players on it like Kyrie, like Haywood, a coach like Brad Stevens, and they've made it now here to the second round of the playoffs. So, you know, if you bought into them early, you have to like your position here right now. But the only thing I might question is, at what point does the loss of Marcus Smart going to end up being a telltale to this basketball team here? It could likely come against a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, who I still feel are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. But if you're a value player, a value seeker here, Boston Celtics plus looks to be a pretty tidy take in this series.
Yeah, and Marcus Smart, the reports I saw was that he's progressing ahead of schedule. He's ahead of schedule, but as you stated, yeah, I don't know how quickly is he going to be able to come back here. Now, the Toronto Raptors are, man, it just keeps climbing. The Raptors.
Told you the buck 80.
Up to 230 right now.
230. I thought it'd get up to maybe 220 max, but 230. Wow.
Raptors up to 230. And pretty much everybody I ask about this series, Mark, tells me they think the Raptors are going to roll the Philadelphia 76ers rather easily. In five, maybe six games. How do you feel about this series, Mark?
Well, I see a Toronto basketball team that finds ways to lose playoff games rather than win them. I've seen that before in the past. Now they're suddenly the favorite here against the Philadelphia Sixer team that's got a pretty well-stocked roster here. The key is going to obviously be the condition of Joel Embiid's knee, and if they can get seven games out of him in this series, if the series were to go seven games and he could play all seven games, I think Philadelphia could be a force in the thing. I'd take Philadelphia plus in the series here. I like the roster, and I just don't like the fact that Toronto has gagged before in the past, and they have to prove it to me before I'd lay that kind of a price.
Mark's from Missouri, Cam.
Yeah, I know.
Show me state.
That's right. Show me something. That's true. Beating Orlando, it's not really like, ooh, you know, it's something you should be doing. So, yeah, I'm kind of with Mark.
I hear you. It's a big price. It's a big price. I'm not disputing it.
They're favored by 5.5 in the opener, too.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. I think the Raptors are going to beat them. I think you can lay a game and a half. Raptors win in 5 or 6, not 7. But we'll take a quick break. We'll jump into the database and see what's up on the diamond with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Game Time Decision. Page Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network continues. See a report here. Kyler Murray reportedly has the lowest Wonderlic test among top 2019 NFL draft quarterbacks. Man, they're coming hard at this kid.
They sure are, man. His stock.
They're coming hard. They're coming hard. Like it's,
if Kyler Murray was a stock, he's gone from Apple to like you know a pet computer pretty quick. Like it's over, man. Wow. They're crucifying him.
Yeah, he stiffed a charitable event. Now it's now the lowest. Funny how this comes. Oh, the lowest Wonderlic test. You know, and it's crazy. The people that are really doing this the most are probably teams that are drafting like 12th and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the evil thing about this, right? Not like the Arizona Cardinals are out there. Oh, yeah, let's smear this kid before we draft him. There's other people that are like, maybe if we smear him enough, it'll scare Arizona away, and they won't draft him, and everyone else won't, and we'll get him. There was a story, Mark Lawrence with his playbook.com. J.J. Watt, when he was coming out of Wisconsin, he met with Rex Ryan. And Rex Ryan told him, listen, I think you're the best player, but I'll be honest with you. He goes, you're not going to be around when we draft you. But he goes, I'm just telling you that if you failed a drug test or you did something, I'll draft you anyways if you get a fall.
So I like his
you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, that's a team say, you know, Rex Ryan's a good guy. Rex, so other GMs just tell someone in the media, oh, yeah, he's got a drug problem. You know what I mean? Just to sort of get it out there. But it's amazing, Mark, how they really, really attack kids right before the draft. And there's usually people with their own personal agenda all the time when they do this.
Well, you mentioned Murray, the lowest Wonderlic test score, and it's ironic you mentioned that because last year when the Browns drafted Baker Mayfield, he had scored the highest ever on what they call the new Wonderlic test. That's called the AIQ test, the average intelligence quotient, and Mayfield had scored the highest ever of any quarterback. So you have two quarterbacks in opposite parallels that were both Heisman Trophy winners, both at Oklahoma. Coming out of the same schools. But you have to also ask yourself, who are the people that put these tests together? They're engineer geeks that put these numbers together here. They know nothing about playing and competing in live competitive sports. All that counts is really whether or not you can get your team into the end zone more often than the other team can. So I think that one or other score is just a scare off as far as Kyler Murray is concerned.
Yeah, and let's look right now at the history, the history of Wonderlic scores. And I'll put it this way. Ryan Fitzpatrick has like the best Wonderlic score ever.
Seven picks.
Guy's thrown a lot of interceptions.
Sure has.
You know what I mean? I had never won a playoff game. Greg McElroy. Nice guy, Greg McElroy. Good guy. Won a national championship with Alabama. He got 49 out of 50 on the Wonderlic. He's in an ESPN booth right now. Yeah,
like,
and I'm not looking for a Jeopardy champion here, Mark. I'm looking for a guy that can run and throw.
That's exactly right. You know, and you talk to Brian Fitzpatrick, the situation down here in Miami being what it is that, you know, the Dolphins, other than Dan Marino, that was there's only been one other quarterback they drafted in the first round since 1983. That was Ryan Tannehill. That tells you all you need to know about the Miami Dolphins and why they've not met with any success because they refuse to go after the most important player on the field, a quarterback, and they're likely not to do that again this year. They're going to live instead with Ryan Fitzpatrick and his three backups who have thrown a combined total of three passes in their NFL football careers. So you have to ask yourself, you know, who's running the ship these days? And down here in Miami, nobody seems to know.
Oh, same guy that was running the Titanic, evidently, because you look at the Miami Dolphins, and it's true. And, you know, Fitzpatrick, it looks like he's on the Krispy Kreme training regimen, Cam, in the offseason.
Yeah, he's taking a page out of my book.
Yeah, he's just trolling them now. He's like, yeah, whatever, you guys suck. You know you suck. That's why you brought me in. Like, that's Fitzpatrick's deal. Everything's just funny. But I agree, Mark. I don't think the Miami Dolphins are going to be looking at a quarterback this year in the draft. So, you know what I was fascinated by, Mark, is, you know, and FanDuel has the prop up. Who's going to be the second player taken in the draft? And, you know, there's a lot of smoke right now as far as Kyler Murray maybe not being the top pick. And then you've got Nick Bosa, who Nick Bosa's got a social media history, Mark, that's not a good one. And I don't think it's the end of the world in a National Football League, at least with the owners and the coaches. But, you know, we spoke to a player today who's on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he basically stated he knows all about the Nick Bosa everything, and he said that he wouldn't respect him. He said, basically, you know, if you're like a big-time pick and stuff, you're like one of the leaders on the team, and you can't be a leader on the team if people know you're racist. And basically, he goes, we know who this guy is. And he goes, he won't be respected in rooms. He's going to have a hard time because of this. And he said, yeah, we wouldn't want him. San Francisco, I mean, you know, he's retweeting some anti, some homophobic stuff, Mark. You know, he called San Francisco a liberal hellhole in which he'd never want to live there. And he went pretty hard at this. Yeah, he's a very good player. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Bosa. If this is just all swept under the carpet, if they're like, listen, he's this good, you know, whatever, we'll deal with it. Or if he falls a little bit, how far he falls, Mark. But I'm thinking Quinnen Williams is the guy. And I got a prop here. Quinnen Williams, second player drafted, is plus 360 in the draft.
I've seen a couple of mock drafts that I really respect that does also have Williams going number two ahead of Bosa in this draft. And if not from a talent standpoint, at least from, as you mentioned here, a locker room standpoint. So it wouldn't be a surprise. The pedigree's there from Alabama. And you can also remember the fact that Bosa, more or less, I'm not going to say quit on Ohio State last year, but, you know, after his injury, he didn't even attempt to come back to play. You know, he opted to protect himself for this draft instead. So you have to ask yourself, what are you getting with Nick Bosa? You know what you're going to get with Quinnen Williams.
Funny, Mark, you bring that up. And, Cam, if you notice, seems to me my memory serves me correctly when Clowney was injured, and he even played a bit, and he played – and he came back, he quit on the team. Ed Oliver quit on the team. We don't hear that about Bosa with the media. You know, you never hear
excellent
that. Mark
point
brought it up.
Excellent.
You never hear
point
that. Yeah, kid got hurt. Never even went back to campus, said screw you, and
it's
laughed
true
at it. I'm not playing with you guys. Dude, let's just be real. If that was a lot of other people, they would have been killed for it, including by myself for it. They would have been. But
yep,
Bosa's gotten a free pass. Ooh, Bosa this, Bosa that, Cam. It never ends with this kid.
No, it doesn't, because of his brother, too, and his brother's success with the Chargers and stuff. But excellent point. Remember that incident with Ed Oliver, who Mark has going to your Bills at 9, Gabe, in his mock draft. Remember the situation with Oliver? He's just a passionate kid, yet I think the media threw him totally under the bus, and he played his ass off for a Houston Cougar team that didn't really have a very good defense at all. So you're saying it. Different strokes for different folks, and it seems like the white guy gets away with it a lot more. Just saying, Morenci, just saying.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Bosa. So, Mark, before we get you out of here, we got Major League Baseball today. Let's take a look at the Coffee Club. And what's the database saying today, Mark?
Well, not a bad-looking card overall on the card today, Major League Baseball-wise. I'm going to look at Cole Hamels here tonight against the Dodgers. He's in excellent current form. He's peeking back to the form that Cole Hamels used to be in, and going up against Walker Buehler for the Dodgers, who's coming in on a lot of name and reputation, hasn't shown anything this year, has Buehler on the road, got a 6.00 ERA away from Dodger Stadium, and these numbers that Hamels is putting up, I like the Cubs in this spot here tonight. They open up a small dog. I'll be on the Cubbies in this contest.
How about the Red Sox getting swept yesterday?
Yeah.
And now laying -230 again tonight with Rodriguez on the hill against Ross, Mark.
A lot of name and reputation plays. You know, that goes hand-in-hand with that old big, ugly dog theory, Gabe, that sometimes you play the dog. You're not so much playing the dog, but you're playing against a favorite that's either not so much incompetent, but is creaky. And right now the Boston Red Sox are a very creaky baseball team. I think Detroit plus $2 is a nice-looking side in that baseball game.
True. And right, Ross is in good form, too. Take a look at the two pitchers, too, guys. Ross has got an ERA of 3.38, Rodriguez 7.2, and you're getting plus 200 or more with the Tigers? You could sign me up. That's strictly value right there. Mark, I love your coffee club. This is one of the funniest things where people send you a question. Gary from Brooklyn wonders, Gabe, listen to this one. Is there anything better than a Game 7 of an NHL playoff series? Mark says, not unless you count sneaking a peek at the Playboy magazine hidden under your pillow at night as a youngster. Excellent read, Mark. That's awesome.
But sort of out of memory, if you know what I'm saying. If you know what I'm saying, Gabe.
Well, I know what you're saying, buddy. I feel the same way.
You know, epic, crazy collapse last night, Mark, for the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Wow.
You know, they're up 3-1 in the series. They find themselves in a game 7. You're up 3-0 with less than 10 minutes left. I'm not going to say we've never seen that before because, quite frankly, we saw the Leafs blow a 4-1 lead with about 8 minutes left in the third period before. So we've seen it before. You had wild, wild game, wild series last night, San Jose and Las Vegas, Mark.
You know, I'm working last night in the magazine, guys, and I say, okay, I'm going to call it quits about 12:15. I'm going to go to bed, and usually I'll put on ESPN or something just to put me to sleep, and I put the hockey game on. And when I turn it on, I watch this cross-checking penalty that they called 5 minutes a major for, which is a ludicrous call because it was nowhere near a major cross-checking penalty. He fell over a player. He didn't go down because of the cross-check. But the bottom line here is it was, I think, one of the best NHL Game 7s we've ever seen.
Yeah, very exciting. Playbook.com. Get excited. Check out Mark Lawrence's mock draft. Make some money.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Your tax refund and swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the 8th Daily Roto lineup optimizer to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament or become one of the countless number of people that have won thousands and thousands of dollars. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special 10% discount. You'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and the use of the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY for a special 10% discount today.
Cam, I see right now that the state of Colorado... Which was the first, of course, to legalize recreational marijuana use, has just passed the sports betting bill. 63-1. 63-1.
Who's the one?
I wonder about that. I don't know. I guess they voted against weed, too.
they're the ethics police.
But to be honest, everything. That's a pretty much a slam dunk, though. Not a lot of places.
Sure,
so, got to tip your cap to the state of Colorado. I mean, what's there not to like, Cam? They like hockey up there. You got the Colorado Avalanche, Colorado Rockies, Denver Broncos, legalized marijuana, and now legalized sports gambling on the way.
It's funny you mentioned that. We've always talked about our final destinations. We've talked about Albuquerque. But, Gabe, there's a lot of places in Colorado, too. You don't have to be right in Denver. You can go to the smaller places, the Springs, Colorado Springs, home of Lieutenant Joe Kenda. a couple other places there too. Sounds like a real nice spot to be, buddy. It's got everything you need. Smoke, games, fun, and cheap, and it's actually very economical too. Everything I love.
Gotta believe that sports betting will pretty much be legal as much as marijuana will pretty much be legal. Not everywhere, but it's just amazing to me. And once again, you know, you have the state of New York that's still stuck in the mud in
they
this.
They sure are. What are they doing?
Because Colorado, all right, Colorado, I'm surprised you're taking Colorado this long, to be honest. I mean, they've had weed for years. I'm surprised you guys didn't get on the sports betting train earlier than this. But all you need to know, guys, so we talk about this. So you think about places that are accepting sports bets right now. Mississippi, yes. New York, no. West Virginia.
Virginia.
Yes.
Yes.
New York, no.
No.
Now, no. The latest state that's hardly some sort of beacon of doing crazy things, Cam, Iowa. Iowa legalized sports betting yesterday.
Excellent move for Iowa. When we go down to Vegas, we see a lot of Wisconsin and Hawkeyes down there. The people from the Midwest love
they
to throw
it like
down.
They do like to gamble.
They sure do. Trust me. Like me and you, we know. We've been to Vegas a lot, and we can give you a fair assessment. Badger country and Hawkeye country, they gamble their asses off. It was actually funny. I was actually hanging out with a guy from Iowa a little bit on my trip. I didn't play too much blackjack this time around, but he was an Iowa Hawkeye. And, yeah, they do love to gamble. And, Gabe, you know, in those type of states, just do it, man. Bring the money in. And it's insane to me. You live in New York, the most populated people. You could do so much with the infrastructure. But, oh, Cuomo and the government, oh, we wouldn't want to legalize sports gambling. Okay, then just let New Jersey have the money, New York. Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to me.
It's insane that they're leaving money on the table, Gabe. You know, the things you could do with that money, too. New York's a huge state, and, like, they talk about, oh, yeah, oh, if you have a problem, that's why they open casinos. That's why they do this. Don't treat us as children. We're grown adults. We can do whatever the hell we want to do, yet New York treats people like they're children. Oh, we can't have you gambling. We can't have you doing this. Well, you know what? Get bent, as I say. Get on board and figure it out. It's just so stupid. Can't even smoke weed. What a joke. What are we, kids?
And you look at Canada, and look, Canada legalized marijuana, but the sports betting, not well.
They're struggling. Well. Horrible, horrible plan. It was a very bad, they can learn a lot from Colorado and Nevada on how to do it properly, but that's a story for another day.
Everyone's to blame. Everyone, like. You know, like you said, the government's to blame, but you have a bunch of bozos that all were dying to open up weed stores, and then they get a license to do it, and they're not ready to open up the store. Like,
exactly. Another good point.
Like the whole thing's just stupid. But, you know, Canada's already had sports betting, obviously, but through parlays only, guys. And so as it is now, and it's been this way for like about 25, 30 years, to be honest.
Yep.
I don't even remember when I played. I think Lotto Quebec was the first one. I think Mise au jeu was called. It's called Face Off. Mise au jeu in French is called Face Off. I think that was the first one, and Ontario was sort of a year or like a little bit after. I remember, Cam, I used to have to go to the Lotto Quebec headquarters to play the ticket. Like it was, it wasn't sophisticated enough that it was in every store yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It was like, oh, no, yeah, they have a machine. If you want to play or you want to bet on hockey or baseball or something, you can. But you've got to go to their headquarters and do it at the machine there. And then whatever, then they got into the stores. So they've had this for years. But it's a parlay system. So in Canada, they're not ethically or morally against you gambling. They're just ethically and morally against you winning.
Yes.
Gamble problem. It's like there's no in Canada. There's no debate so as to well, gambling's bad. We're religious. We don't want this here. Like no one in Canada says that. Everyone's like, no. They just debate. Yeah, well, we're making a lot of money off these parlays, guys. And if we let them bet single games, they're not going to play parlays anymore. Like that's their moral stance, Cam.
For sure. Remember this too, Gabe. Back in the day, they only had. The three-game parlay, right? But now on the game called Point Spread that we use for mostly for the NFL football, you can do a two-game parlay. That's the minimum
now.
Yeah,
but listen, it's crazy. That two-game parlay sucks. That two-game parlay, it pays 2-1, Cam.
I know it does. It's horrible. It's the worst odds going.
You're doubling your money for a 2-1 parlay. Yeah, but they're so stupid that this is what I'm talking about, like the stupidity of the pro line in Ontario, that they have a 2-team parlay. It literally pays 2-1, guys. All right? It's brutal. So you get two games right against the point spread, they'll double your money. Yeah, Cam, they'll give you 5 times your money to get 3 right, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
To get 3 and 10 to get 4. 10 for
4. Yeah, so basically, but Cam, so instead of playing a 2-team parlay at their 2-1 odds, if you only wanted 2 teams to win, take 2 3-team parlays, but just play the same side of one of them, and you're winning 2.5 times your money.
Like a round robin.
You're making more money. You're making 2.5 times your money, and you only need to win 2 games as well. You see, like, they're ripping people off. Like, and how many people, some just casual guy, some dumbass that plays these tickets, like, you know, during the football season only once a week with his wife at the grocery store, playing a 2-team parlay, doesn't realizing how he's getting jobbed. Like, it's like, you know, if a book or a casino did that, can you imagine if any casino or sports book said, hey, yeah, man, we have a promo running, pick 2 games and we'll double your money? They'd get laughed out of business. Like, they'd get shut down by the Federal Business Bureau. But they think, it's great.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's great.
It's embarrassing. I'm going to tell you one thing, though, Gabe. By the time, I don't know how long you're going to be living in New York for how many years, but by the time, if you ever do come back to somewhere in Canada, there will be single-game sports betting. I'm almost positive. It's just one of those things when you get desperate enough.
I think there will be by next football season.
There should be. Like, the way Ford's running the show in Ontario, he's tried everything. At Woodbine now, they have real table games and roulette, not just slots. This guy's a pro gambling guy, so especially in Ontario, I would be surprised if it's not going to be in place by next football season. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I think it'll be coming, and it's going to be coming everywhere. It's going to be federal soon. It is. They're on top of it. Federal in the United States. There'll be a federal gaming act put across the board because, and I've talked about this a million times, but the fact is the NFL wants in on this, right? And Major League Baseball, like, these leagues want to make money off of gambling.
For
sure.
But
they have a hard time making money off of gambling if they're making money from something that's illegal in places where they are. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's sort of like the state of Colorado. It's still federally illegal to sell weed. So they can't do business with banks, Colorado. It's so stupid. They have, like, warehouses full of paper money because they can't put the money in the bank because it's dirty money. So it's sort of like the same type of thing in the NFL. The NFL doesn't want to say, all right, listen, we're going to make a bunch of money off the New York Giants and Jets because they play in Jersey. And we're going to cut a bunch of gambling deals, but we'd get arrested for doing the same thing in Charlotte, North Carolina. Where we can't do this. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
We're not going to participate in something that's illegal. So, like, I know the owner of the Dolphins is basically, they're all pushing this. The owner of the Dolphins didn't hide it. He basically stated that the owners want more interaction. They understand that gambling is bigger than fantasy, and it's the new sort of, he said, we envision a day very soon in the NFL where you'll be sitting at your seat and there'll be, like, an iPad in your seat, like, on the back. You know what I mean? Like, the new Rams stadium is going to have that in some parts, in some seats. So it'll be like, so you keep up with your fantasy in other games because they get it. They're like, people are, you know, you want to come to a game, you want to get your fantasy team, you got to get bets in. So they basically said, yeah, we envision a day very shortly that you'll be at the game, and basically you'll be able to bet on whether the next pass is a touchdown throw or not from your seat. And he said, imagine the interaction and how fun it'll be for the fans.
Oh, for sure.
Imagine all the money we're all going to make. That's what they want to do. But he said, we can't do this if it's illegal in one state and we're operating in these states. He goes,
very true.
He said, there's certain owners that just don't want to hear about it if it's illegal. So he goes, we're getting this to be legal.
You talk about attendance being down all over the board. It has to do with a lot of things. and you know the experience. We go to a Buffalo Bills game, that's the game. People want to be at home with the super ticket. I got this game, I got this game, I got this game. I had those fantasy receivers. Those are my backs. That's my DFS lineup. These are my bets. These are my spread bets, over-unders. When you're at the Bills game, you almost feel stuck. And a lot of the times these teams are talking about that. People, the NFL experience is about all the games, not just one, and how many people are involved in betting and fantasy. So you're right, Gabe. They got to do something to keep people around, because we haven't been at Bills games before going nuts when all this crazy stuff's happening on all the other games.
The Bills games, and God bless them, but the Bills games, it's like 1965.
It is. Like, I know. It's like
they don't even
score.
They don't even have the scores. They don't even have scores on the board. Like, they're like, it's so old school. They do it. Like, I remember going to games in the 80s in L.A. And that's what they used to do. They'd come on, scores from around the league, Denver, 10, and everyone would be listening. Woo, right?
Ooh.
That's what they do with Buffalo guys. There's, like, no scoreboard. Like, you basically go to Bills
game. It's ridiculous.
And, like, at halftime, they'll be like, oh, and around the league, it's, you know, Raiders 14, Chiefs 10. And they just read it once, and that's it. You don't know anything. There's not, like, one TV. Is there a TV screen in that entire stadium, Cam?
Nope.
Like, you know
nope.
how, like, just, in a lot of stadiums,
just the screen.
Like,
just the screen.
Like, you know, you're, like, you go to a, hell, you go to an Argo game, you take a leak, they have a screen in a bathroom, and the bathroom's heated at that BMO's field.
And that's a Canadian Football League game.
Yeah, I know. You go to a Bills game, it's like, I don't know, man. You have no idea what's going on in the outside world. Like,
we're not even going to tell you about the facilities. Pissing in the trough. That's from like the 70s.
I like how they said, oh, yeah, we renovated the stadium. It's like Cameron Dutrue said. Said they didn't renovate it. They painted it black. Like, it was all gray. It's all gray and concrete. So they made it black. It looks better. But you didn't renovate it. You painted it black.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Network, iHeart Radio, now on YouTube as well. We're just talking about some gaming situations in different states, Iowa, Colorado, etc. New York, it's coming. It continues. They're just, you know, everything takes forever in the state of New York, Cam. A lot of bureaucracy.
Sure.
In the state of New York. But other news. Jay Cornegay is the creator of the Super Contest, the world-famous Super Contest at the Westgate in Las Vegas, formerly the Hilton and LVH and a million other names over the years, currently the Westgate properties. The Super Contest, you know, winner about $1 million. There's like 3,000 people in it this past year, if not more. It's kind of a pain in the ass. There's too many people in it. But the deal is, you know, every year we've got to go to Vegas Day to register. You've got to enter in person. And then you've got to get a proxy.
Pay them right? $300.
So, yeah, and you got to pay someone to put your picks in for you on a weekly basis. So suddenly you're paying for the contest and you're down another $300. You're basically down $2,000 to enter a contest. And not to mention the travel to get there, hotels. It's insane. You know, to get into this contest. So unless you live in Vegas and you're, you know, but a lot of people don't and they go there for the contest. But the Super Contest that we were wondering, listen, I would expect that FanDuel and DraftKings and the others are going to have their own contests with this upcoming year. Now that they're more functional and operational. But the Westgate has announced that they're holding the, there's going to be a, the Super Contest is coming to the East Coast. That the Westgate is setting up shop in New Jersey and they're going to be expanding to other states, but they're going to be set up shop for New Jersey. Smart. And that there's going to be an East Coast Super Contest ready for this year.
Brilliant.
And you won't need a proxy.
Exactly. Money in like, your pocket.
Yeah, you can just put the picks in yourself on a mobile device in-state, which you will be able to take as well very shortly, potentially this year.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Update from Game Time Decisions.
Hey everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. No charges are coming to Kansas City Chiefs wideout Tyreek Hill. Investigators believe a crime did take place against Hill's three-year-old son, but the DA said not enough evidence to charge Hill and his fiance for child abuse. More to come on this story. Big Ben has a brand new deal. The Pittsburgh quarterback signing a two-year extension with the Steelers. It's a two-year extension with that 1 year remaining on his current contract. Big Ben signed a four-year, $87.4 million extension back in 2015. He flirted with retirement before, but now Roethlisberger signed to lead the Steelers until 2021, and he'll be 39 years old. He led the league in passing in 2018 with over 5,000 yards, 34 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. He's a six-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champion. The Dallas Cowboys have picked up the fifth-year option on stud running back Ezekiel Elliott. The move keeps him in Big E through 2020 and will pay him $9.09 million. Elliott led the NFL with 1,434 rushing yards in 2018. Big move for the Ravens here. They've signed all-pro kicker Justin Tucker to a four-year contract extension. The deal is worth $23.5 million, 12.5 of that million guaranteed. Tucker is currently the most accurate kicker in NFL history, connecting on 90.1% of field goal attempts in his brilliant seven-year career. He's never missed a field goal within 30 yards. Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch reportedly going to hang up the cleats. John Gruden had plans to bring Beast Mode back, but didn't know Lynch's intentions. Lynch played just six games last year, averaging 4.2 yards a carry and three touchdowns. Bruce Arians is not impressed. Gabe and I talked about this yesterday. The Bucs' new head coach seething about Tampa Bay's schedule. It's insane. The Bucs play seven consecutive weeks on the road. They hit the road week four and won't be back in Tampa Bay till week 10. Arians is pissed. He wants a redo. I think it's unfair for his team. Afternoon ball today. Let's take a look at the games. Miami and Cleveland. The Indians get it done 6-2. Jose Ramirez, four RBIs for the Tribe. St. Louis over Milwaukee, final 5-2. Wainwright the win. Chassin the loss. Ian Snell, not great in his first game back for the Rays. He gave up three runs, two earned on five hits and 3.1 innings. Kansas City hammering Tampa Bay, 10-2 the final. Games in progress. Colorado up on Washington, 6-3, bottom six. Texas and Oakland tied at three, top four. Seattle and San Diego, the Padres have scored. They're up 1-0 there. San Fran and Toronto scoreless in the top of the fourth. 6:40, we got Atlanta and Cincinnati. Braves 125, 9.5. Soroka versus Rourke. 2 at 7:05, Chicago White Sox at Baltimore, O's minus 125, over under 10, Santana versus Means, Arizona at Pittsburgh, the Pirates, Yar, laying 130, 8 is your total, Kelly versus Lyles at 7:10, ice cold Boston hosting Detroit, the Red Sox minus 225, total 9.5, Ross versus Rodriguez, Philly at the New York Mets, the Phillies laying 135, 9, Velasquez and Vargas, 8:05, good one here, Dodgers minus 120 at the Cubs, total 8, Bueller versus Hamels, who's pitching well. 8:10, Minnesota and Houston. The Stros minus 265, over under 9. Stewart versus Verlander, 10:07. We have the Yankees and Angels. Angels minus 115, 8.5 is your over under. Sabathia versus Pena. The Brew Crew have signed lefty pitcher Gio Gonzalez to a one-year, $2 million deal. We got game sevens tonight in hockey. Caps minus 165.5, home to Carolina. Two more elimination games in the NBA. At 8 o'clock, the Utah Jazz at the Rockets. Rockets 8.5, 213. And then the Clippers, they battle Golden State at Oaktown. The Warriors laying 14.5 points, over under 233. Golden State wins. They move on. EPL final, the Manchester Derby. Manchester City beat Man United 2-0.
is your final. I'm Cam Stewart. Stick around. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage. We got more sports talk and gambling and the DFS Hour coming up at 6 o'clock as well. So stick around, everybody. More Red Heat and Rage Radio.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right. Time to lace them up, man. We got Lou coming in the cage here, Cam.
Uh-oh. Better put on my protector.
I know you don't like wearing the visor on the ice, Cam, but I advise you better put the visor on.
With Lou? You're damn right. I got to put the full cage on.
Where are my Lou's gloves? The gloves on.
Put your equipment on, Morency. In comes Lou.
No. I don't see why we should.
I love Lou.
I don't see
Lou's.
Lou. Yeah, Lou
now
from
Gaffu. Now I'm scared with all my futures too, with Boston advancing. God, man, I need somebody to knock those clowns out. Do you think Columbus can beat these guys, Gabe? Now I really need the Jackets to win. Against the Leafs, I was all Leafs, and I don't mind giving up my Columbus futures, but I really need the Jackets to beat the Bruins. God, that would be great. Come on, Columbus. Please.
I was going to ask you, actually. I think we're both biased. I think a little bit. Like I'd pretty much bet against Boston with anybody, to be honest.
Like, me too. I don't like Boston.
Like, I got caught up in it.
Tuukka Rask played good, too.
He did. He was the difference.
Really well. He was the difference. The Leafs actually dominated many parts of that game, even though Babcock was ridiculous with the way he switches his lines. I'm really pissed off at that.
It's weird,
man.
If this makes sense, Cam, that the Leafs were the better team, but Boston deserved to win, if that makes sense.
It actually does. Yeah.
The Leafs were the better team. Like, they were. You add it all up, and, like, it's like, yeah, you guys, the Leafs were kind of better, but you didn't win. You know what I mean?
The Leafs were soft.
And it's not like you came close to winning. You didn't. Like, you fell apart in the third period. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't really that close.
And again, they give up the two goals in the first period. Then they come back. Like, you can't – in the playoffs, when did the Leafs ever come out in anybody and, like, punch them in the face the way Columbus did to Tampa and take a 3-0 lead early? Never. That's the answer to the question. They always have to grind. They always, we come out. Maybe they might score the first goal in the game, but when have they had 20 minutes of sustained pressure and, like, had a 3-0 or 4-0 lead in the first period and buried teams early? Dallas did it. Columbus did it. You know, St. Louis did it to Winnipeg. Like, the Leafs don't do it, Gabe. They don't show up in big games. It really pisses me off, man. They need a whole culture. They need a change of culture there. They need to bring in some kind of leaders, because these guys they have on the team, they're too young. They're not getting it done. They just don't have that grit and that grime. They don't seem tough enough to me. They seem like millennials that are fast.
Yeah, there's too many, and there's too many of the same player on the team.
Correct.
You know what I mean? You've got, you know, Marner's great, good young player, and Matthews Nylander.
They're all
Tavares.
Just
Tavares. Like, guys, like, it's almost like a football team. Like, all right, we got 5 wide receivers now. Like, you know what I mean? We got no D-line. Yeah, like, if the Leafs were a football team, you know what they don't have? They got no pass rush, and they can't stop the run. You know, it's like, yeah, you guys are cute. You start throwing the ball around and stuff, but teams run the ball down your throat when they have to. And you're right. They don't have that grit factor. Maybe if they get sick of losing enough, that it'll get to them. But I think they might have too many of the same guys on the team. And it's up to Babcock as well to, you know, that's what you're getting paid for, bro. Like, that's the deal of coaching, like, taking the players you have and winning with them. I would get rid of every defenseman that they have, too. Their defensemen are terrible. But their forwards can't get the puck out of the zone either. Like, they're all bad.
No, they are. And Babcock makes a lot of money, but this is the issue that I have as a coach. I've never seen a guy play so many players that have no offensive skills that many minutes. It's a do-or-die playoff game. Throw your horses out. Guys on the fourth and third line shouldn't have almost the same type of ice time, Gabe. He did a horrible job. He got out-coached by Cassidy. Big time. Big time.
I get the feeling. I think Columbus are sort of like San Jose. I think they might be a team of destiny now. They're extremely well-rested. And quite frankly, I don't think Boston are that good. But I could be biased.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Solid stuff, I guess. Give me the news. I got a bad case of betting you. Betting the Leafs will be an early grave for me. Pissing units away. So like we're saying, I don't know. We'll bring Lou in right now.
Yeah.
We'll get his opinion on this.
Lou.
And hopefully we don't come to blows, but we might because Boston
it's
Bruins, I'm second. It's hockey talk. It's hockey talk time with Lou. Gamblew.com. Lou! How you doing, Lou?
Gentlemen, we're in the middle of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're almost at the end of round one. Everywhere you look, from our spot a week ago to last night's infractions in Game 7 in San Jose, there's passion spilling everywhere. I couldn't be happier for the game of hockey, and it's a great time to be a hockey fan.
Hey, listen, it's entertaining. It's
sure
entertaining,
is.
But you know, Vegas can't say that they're not, you know, that the penalty. I can understand their frustration, but at the same point in time, I'm happy for Joe Thornton and the San Jose Sharks. They've been on the other end of so many of these weird comebacks,
true.
Meltdowns, disappointments, and everything else in between. So the resiliency that the San Jose Sharks showed. I've got to tip my cap to them. So me and Cam were just crying about the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. Cam's a Leaf fan, and I just hate the Bruins. So we're talking about their series against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And, you know, Boston are a strange team to me. I got to give credit to Tuukka Rask. He played great in this series. He really did.
He
was very, very steady. You know, Anderson made spectacular saves, but he'd also let in bad goals. You know, Rask was just very steady. The one thing that I really credit the Boston Bruins for as well is they're so calm under pressure, guys.
Excellent
you know, like
point.
You see, like, you know, when the Leafs were down a goal, you're like, oh, they're screwed. When Boston was down a goal, it's like, it doesn't matter. They're only down a goal. Like, there's a sense of calmness to them. Marchand, I got to give him credit, going from a little rat bastard to still sort of an asshole, but not as much as he used to be. He doesn't lick people's faces now. Yeah, he's grown. He's grown.
Smarter,
but
now.
He's a real leader on that team, guys. And I tip my cap to them, all right, guys. Like, as much as I rip the Bruins, I tip my cap to their solidness, their professionalism, and their solidness. But at the same point in time, they're not a very they're very reliant on a couple of players, and they really do it with willpower, good coaching, don't make mistakes. They get the puck out of their zone. Chara's a big dude still, even though he's old.
A good defense.
Columbus
too.
Can beat them. Like, it's not like Boston are invincible. Toronto just didn't have what it takes. They don't have that grit factor. What about Columbus, Lou? Columbus and Boston. Who do you like in this series?
Well, I'll tell you that both have improved in the first round of the playoffs, really, over their regular season numbers. Boston's so solid on the special teams. I could regurgitate a lot of what you said. I make Boston, because of home ice, the rightful favorite, also because of experience. I do believe Columbus is live. I would probably choose to attack this series game by game. While Boston is gritty and experienced and somewhat deep with experience, they're not necessarily a complete team in that their scoring really comes from a line and a half. And after that, it kind of goes away. And you said it right. They play a lot of great system hockey. So if Torts can continue to play the right strings with Columbus and Bobrovsky can stand on his head, we're going to have a great series. I think I'll attack this one game by game, however.
It wasn't an easy series for the Boston Bruins against the Leafs. Now, the Leafs didn't drain them physically, though. I don't think the Bruins are drained physically, but Columbus are going to be the well-rested team coming into this. They played three times. Boston beat them 6-2. They beat them 2-1 in overtime, and Columbus beat them 7-4. Yet, like you said, Lou, I really wouldn't make much of this of the regular season matchups, specifically with Columbus. Columbus have been a different team for about the last month right now. They've been on fire.
Totally agree with that. And I'm interested to see the dynamic. I'll tell you, after watching the first round, I wouldn't blame anybody that came up to me and said, well, heck, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm going to take every dog in every series. And I could see you having a point.
I can't argue with that. Look,
I agree.
Look at last night, guys. Cam, look at that game. And that's what I was talking about last week. There's a certain cruel randomness to hockey in which, you know, the hockey gods are cruel, man. Like the puck bounces in a weird way. Look at Jones last night. Or look at Jones in this series, guys. He was terrible, then he saved their ass. And then last night, I'm watching these goals, Cam, and I got money on San Jose, and I'm like, dear God, bro, like, I would have stopped that. And I don't like saying that because, you know what I mean? I'm not saying, you know, but I'm like, really, bro? Like, they scored on a wrist shot through your legs? Like, what the hell? Like, it was like watching, like, peewee hockey, Cam, with Jones. And I'm all like, man, I knew it. I effing knew this kid couldn't play good two nights in a row. And then later in the game, he's like Hasek, behind the back, spinning save. And then he lets it in another bad one. And look, San Jose are left for dead, Lou, and then they're back. Vegas are up 3-1, then they're down. You know, this year, who knows? Who the hell knows who's going to win? I mean, they're all so evenly matched. The Blues, the Stars, you know, everyone. The Avalanche series with the Sharks. Everyone's evenly matched. The Islanders have a chance of winning their next series. Everyone's got a shot, in my opinion, Lou.
I totally agree with that. That said, the old school person I am, I keep talking about from the goal out. It's going to be that fundamental from which I choose a team. Surely both Boston and Columbus fit that. And the Isles, well more so than either the Hurricanes or the Capitals, whoever wins tonight. I will say in the West, I do see St. Louis as a shining star. I mentioned with you and Cam a week or two ago, maybe, that the winner of the representative of the Campbell Conference is going to be the winner of the Winnipeg-St. Louis series. I happen to call the series incorrectly by choosing Winnipeg, but I will absolutely stand that St. Louis to me has the goods. And this battle between rookie Binnington and veteran Ben Bishop is going to be absolutely epic.
Cam, what are your thoughts on that one?
It's funny. I was actually just going to tell you guys, Gabe, when I look at the series and I've watched every minute of every single game, I think the Dallas Stars could represent the West and go to the Stanley Cup final. I have both of these teams as long shots, Gabe. You know, now they're playing each other, so I'm going to lose one. But watching Dallas play, just the speed of their team and all their acquisitions, they can beat you with physical play, the speed. And I also think Zuccarello was a huge addition to that team. The one problem that I have with the Blues is I think they're going to have problems scoring against Dallas. Dallas's D can be play shutdown, and they're very offensive, too, with Heinicken and all these other guys that they got on the team. Like, they're very, very young, skilled. And then now and even a guy like Roman Polak, he's the physical presence. Gabe, I've never seen a team roll out four lines of speed and quality like Dallas. The Blues are favored in this series, I'll be betting Dallas. I think they're the better hockey team, but should be a good one. Lots of low-scoring games, 2-1s, 3-2s.
I agree. I think we're looking at some unders. You read my mind. That's the first thing I thought. I'm like, ooh, I'll be betting the unders in these games. If I can get 5.5s. I agree. I actually get the feeling, and I'm not saying this with any confidence, but I think, like, I'm going with the speed almost of give me Dallas, and I am, San Jose's destiny, all this, but Colorado's just flying around right now. Hit this and more on the other side.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Bad song choice.
Oh, I know. That's the Boston Bruins song.
How are you doing, Yang? Thank you, Yang.
That
Yang's
song,
like, oh, shit.
That song,
Yang's like, oh, shit.
It's gone.
When I hear Chelsea Dagger, I want to put a dagger in my heart. Like, I hate that song.
Who put that in there? Is that Pavona?
Yeah, that was like Pavona. I'm not going to take credit for that one. I'm going to point the finger on that
Pavona,
one.
And the thing is, I would say that Pavona, well, no, he didn't mean it, but Pavona, like, he's like the Joker or something. He's pretty smart. I think he knows what he's doing with these things.
I agree. He's playing with our minds. I'm with you. He knows how to piss us off.
Because I asked him once, I said, why are these songs? I asked him once off the air, and he said, I like messing with you a bit sometimes.
He told the trick. Like, he's telling you.
All right. Doing it more for you. I felt bad for you advising Vince after the game.
Yeah.
How did Vizy and Vince take it last night?
I guess he's used to it, but this is the year. It's very frustrating when you're a fan of a team and even with new players, you have the same results. Nothing seems to get better. Like, it's one of those things. You almost feel like you as a Bills fan.
Well, I'm a Raptor fan. I live this.
And or at least the Raptors. Yeah. Now we have the Raptors, which is good. They're in the second round, but it just seems like there's a dark cloud around the city of Toronto. Like, you could talk about, the Argonauts winning a Grey Cup or TFC in soccer, but when it comes to the big sports, it's very, very tons of disappointment, Gabe. Can't lie.
All right. I'm trying to figure out this new Twitter. Hey, Lou, what do you think of the new Twitter? Have you noticed this new Twitter, Lou?
Well, I jumped on it at one point in time to kind of check it out, and I got off of it as fast as I could figure it out, and I haven't been back since. But they're telling me here, take a sneak peek, take a look, and I ain't gonna.
I like it, Lou. You guys got to make a statement against it. You like the old way. Sometimes the new way is not
better. Well, I don't know. I haven't tried it. Do you like the new one? I mean, I've not heard anybody that's given me.
He hates it.
But you like it, Cam?
I don't go on Twitter very much, Lou. I'm not really a good guy to ask. I can't lie. I just retweet stuff. I'm not a real social media guy, but I am sociable.
Well, sure. But Gabe's on social media, and if he hates it, I'm going to probably stand behind him on this one just because I know he's apt on Twitter.
No, it's much. Listen, it looks better. They've upped
it's
the.
Slicker?
Yeah, the video quality is clear and stuff. I'm not going to dispute it, but I don't know where anything is. It's just they've changed everything. Like, you can't even just retweet normally or copy and paste things. Like, it's really, really frustrating.
I can barely do that shit anyway.
I know. But me too. I finally learned how to do this stuff. But I actually got a headache and logged off last night too. I didn't want to deal with it. Yang, if you can, check the Gmail chat. And I sent you the link to this. See, it's so stupid. It would have been easier to send a link before. Pretty sure I sent you the link, but we'll play a Leaf fan melting down after last night. So, Yang gets this. You got that, Yang?
He gone?
Oh. Yo, Yang. The thing that baffles me, guys, it's a small room.
That's my favorite line. That's my favorite line. Yo Yang.
Yo Yang. Yo Yang. You should hear him sometimes, Lou. It's the best. Yang. Right. When he gets frustrated about, like, Yo Yang number six, then I see the vein in Renzi's head start to pop.
I'm about to Yo Yang. Yo Yang.
The Blue Jays are losing, too. What, just a bunch of losers.
The Blue Jays are losers. We know they're losers. All right. I guess we're not getting this clip up. Danny, have you guys been taken hostage? Are you still alive?
I am here and alive, but I'm running another show right now. I didn't know what you were looking for. Sorry.
Oh, Danny. He's quick on the trigger there.
I'm here. Okay. I heard my name. I'm here. I'll always jump over here, but I am running another show.
What's up?
Hey,
how you doing, Dan?
I'm doing good. Yeah,
I know. You're a professional. You're getting ready for what? We got Red Card Fell coming up, right?
Yeah. Actually, we were just about to start.
See? There's an operation going on. So,
yeah.
So, what's the deal with
Yang?
Yeah. So, I was going to say, what's the deal with Yang? Because does he have, like, a bladder problem? Like, he seems to go to the bathroom a lot, Danny.
He gone. I don't know.
He gone.
He gone. He literally told us he had to go to the bathroom, and I think it was, like, 30 seconds later was when you asked for him.
Amazing.
Like, what's the deal with this guy? He goes, what is he on his period? Like, did Yang get a sex change, and, like, we don't know?
Nah, buddy, I went to the bathroom real quick, buddy.
Oh, there he is. Hey, buddy.
Real quick. We've been asking for you for 5 minutes.
Oh, that's about the time I went and came back.
We've been asking for a clip. Check the Gmail chat here, Yang. We were talking earlier about it. No runs on the board. Now it's like 5-3. Now it's like 5-3. All right. See, Chad's saying Danny's dialed in. Danny's dialed in. All right, Yang. Well, we hope you
win. Jake Carter, you are fucking awesome! Oh. Like, how many fucking years are you gonna fuck us?
There's a couple more.
You're negative two in 20 fucking minutes already, man. Seriously! You gotta go!
Hey, we apologize. We apologize for the F-up. Thank you, Yang.
That guy really took it hard. A lot harder.
Yeah. He's a punchable-looking kid, too, the kid freaking out about this.
I heard Justin Bieber's a Leaf fan. That's not cool.
Last night.
Yeah, I know. I got to get a new team.
He's a curse. Like, him and Drake, stay away.
Him and Drake, I know. Hey, celebrities, stay away from our teams. You're not helping the situations at all. Great point. Right, it's true.
So right now, guys, Boston Bruins plus 460, Sharks plus 460. Now, I really didn't know there was that many F-bombs in it. That's my bad. I'll take the heat for that, Yank. Don't worry. Just say, Morenci bitched to me to play it. Boston Bruins plus 460. San Jose Sharks are suddenly the co-favorites at plus 460. You know, Cam, we talked about these odds yesterday. They're totally different. The odds makers don't know what they're doing. And I don't think this in a negative way. I'm just stating that they're throwing darts every day. Like, what you're telling me, the San Jose Sharks are Stanley Cup favorites right now?
I got Westgate's numbers, and they're very different than what you're quoting, Gabriel.
Okay, let's hear, Lou. What you got?
All right. So Boston Bruins are plus 460 right now. What's it at the Westgate?
350. So if you like Boston, to me, Westgate's a big joint, and they don't make many mistakes. If the Westgate's got the bees at 350 and you got 460 there, I'm just telling you.
One thing, this is out. The gloves are coming off. It's like one thing I'll say, and I think you'll have my back on this, Cam. Listen, I have a ton of respect for the Westgate book. I was just bigging up Cornegay earlier. So I'm not disputing that. But when it comes to hockey, they're not some sort of Bible of numbers. They're biased to the West Coast. Their Vegas numbers are whack. To be honest, like the real barometer, in my opinion, for ice hockey odds, it's the offshores. It's the offshores. Yeah. And,
even UFC. I would agree with that. I agree with you.
Yeah. UFC, you're right too, Lou. Dude, Lou, you're exactly right. Like, me and my
Joey.
Boy T-Bone. Yeah. We were at, I was at the M, famous place, the M. Oh, Floyd Mayweather bets there. Beautiful place. Great establishment. I'm not, you know what I mean? It's a nice property.
Great food.
But they're known for, oh, they'll take a $2 million bet and stuff. Dude, they didn't have the prelims for a UFC card up. So they had like three fights on the main card up. This is about, 7 years ago, whatever, but still. And we're like, come on, guys, you have this. And they're like, no, we don't have it. We're like, come on, man. Like, really, we don't have time to go elsewhere. Like, he's like, yeah. Okay. Hold on a minute. And the ticket taker guy went and got the manager and they were right there, Lou. We heard them. The manager guy, he's like, yeah, take their action. And Buddy goes to him, we don't have lines, boss. He told him, just copy Bet Chris. That was at DM, Lou.
A decade ago, that's how they treated hockey. But you're totally right. I mean, right now, the Westgate will give you good props and good lines on UFC fights. But you got to be Lewis and Clark to find another hotel in Vegas that is comprehensive in their lines on the UFC. They're afraid of it. I don't get it, but it's a fact.
The South Point,
they don't
UFC,
really Lou. Want it, and they shy away from it.
How's the South Point?
One of my for favorite UFC. Hotels. One of my
Love
favorite hotels.
Point.
I don't want to answer the question.
That's what I can tell
I'm
you.
With you, Lou. There's too many good things about the South Point to throw
they're
them
great
the
people. But they're great people. Chris
place.
Andrews.
You just
Chris,
said something,
Chris
though,
Andrews
Lou,
is,
right there. You just said you something right there, though, about not about South Point, but about they don't even care. That's the thing. Because the way they look at it is like, you go in there, like our boy T-Bone went in there wanting to bet $2,000 on Bisping at the Wynn. Dude, it cost $2,000 for dinner at the Wynn, Cam, and they were like all scared of the man. They were like, $1,000 only. It's like, this is the Wynn. He's like, come on, guys. It was like, they were like, listen, we'll do this just to shut you up, but you don't like this. And like Lou said, the general public's not betting the UFC. So some guy that's coming in there and wants to bet it like this, probably going to win. They don't want your action. A strat shut down for $500 parlays I used to play. They were like 200 back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's here. The fantasy football is back to live action, fellas. Set it, Gabe. The season starts now. First round of the NFL draft Thursday out April 25th. And for serious fantasy football players, it's never too early to start prepping for the season. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts providing dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge, regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with the promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com.
Well done, Cam. Well done. Thank you, Yang. We got Lou Gamblu with us. So we just say, looking at the NHL futures, we'll get into some UFC in a couple of minutes here. I would say, and this isn't an endorsement, and in fact, they don't even they don't take customers in the United States anyways, is Bet365. I would say their hockey numbers are pretty much as accurate as they come. Would you agree with that, Cam?
Sorry, what was that, Gabe? Well, what site?
Bet365.
Oh, yeah, Bet365, I think they're very, very good at what they do. Their futures odds are good.
No, right, I'm not on saying they're the best book in the world. It's not an endorsement. I'm just saying that their hockey odds are pretty bang on. Like they're accurate, yeah. Real odds. Yeah.
Yeah, I find that they're dead on. Like Sports Interaction is better for dogs. Certain books are better for favorites, and Bet365 is right in the middle. It's fair on both sides. I agree 100%. I like Dallas Stars at plus 750. That's what I'm looking at.
Sports Interaction is it's a public book. They just want like $20 players there and stuff. Look, Bet365, the Boston Bruins are plus 450. So it's the same thing. The Sharks plus 550 offshore. Columbus are 6-1. The Islanders are 6-1 at FanDuel. So that's a local. What is that offshore? Yeah, they're 6-1. Same thing. My gut, and listen, you know, my gut tells me, even though I'm pulling for the Sharks right now, I like their story, but I sort of think the Stars and the Avalanche are the live teams in the West. And I'm not ready to write the Islanders off yet either, but how much do you make of it, guys, that the Islanders no longer at Nassau Coliseum, now they have to go play at the Barclays, and there's just it's not the same. They have something special at that Nassau. It's a small arena and stuff, 14,000 people only. Just not the same in Brooklyn, guys. It's too bad for them.
I agree with you 100%. They have a wicked fan base there. I've been there, partied with them, smashed a Pittsburgh Penguins car with the goggles on, with a sledgehammer. Those Islander fans were partying real early. And I'll tell you something, it shouldn't have happened until the conference finals, Gabe. There's no need to change it until the conference finals when they start talking about money, 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 money. They had a huge advantage there. They took out Sidney Crosby and the Penguins, and now you got to fire these guys in Barclays. It's not the same. It's a disadvantage to the Islanders and hurts them.
But we can't blame the NHL for this.
No, we can't.
It's the Islanders. It's basically the Nassau Coliseum did not think that the New York Islanders would still be playing hockey. Like they basically told
against their own team.
What I believe is what I've heard, and I don't know that this is true, but what I've heard and sounds more plausible to me is that Nassau Coliseum is unable to handle the depth of media coverage, technology, and mass of reporters that are going to be on the scene to report this event. And I think that holds water for me. I agree with you, man, that the change in venue is a factor, but it is such a minute factor next to the fact that more than likely these Islanders are going to be playing a really dangerous team, maybe the defending champs, in the next round. And I think they're protected by the way they play. Dynamic goaltending, unbelievable smothering defense, and then, oh, by the way, maybe they can score. I think that prepares them for a change of venue being a very, very modest thing that they're going to have to adjust with.
Yeah, you know, I think it's not the be-all, end-all. If there's more Islander fans, the place holds like 5,000-6,000 more people. But you go from a rabid sort of arena where people are used to them playing to Brooklyn, it's not the same. It makes sense. I hear what you're saying, Lou, but the fact is, really, the Nassau Coliseum is booked. You know, they actually have a bunch of dog shows and stuff like coming up. Like, it's simply booked as well.
And which is great. I mean, it doesn't, to me, again, I live in Phoenix, so it's even more minimized. You're in New York, so you understand the nuance. But to me, in a 7-game series, I just don't know how much that's going to affect them when you look at overall results in the playoffs thus far. Home teams are 25-20. So it's not that it's such a huge advantage. To me, it's the way you play.
No, that's true. And I'm going to look up, I'll get their record compared in the arenas. There's no doubt there's no arguing that they prefer to play in Nassau. The players prefer it. They were better there. They don't like Brooklyn. That's the thing, Lou. No one likes the arena. Like, the Islander fans hate the arena in Brooklyn. It's not made for hockey. They're at the Barclays, which is a world-class venue, but it wasn't made for hockey.
Basketball
so there's,
arena.
There's weird sight lines where there's like a lot of people are blocked, and It's dark. It's like they hate it. So I know what you mean, Lou. Like from the outside, oh, whatever, they're playing in a different building in the same city, but they're really not. Like it takes them out of their zone a little bit, but I don't think you're right. I mean, they're either playing well or they're not. And you talked about it, Lou. I mean, you want to talk about from the goalie out, the New York Islanders give up less goals than anybody in the International Hockey League did this year. And it continued, and they were suffocating and fast as hell in the first round against the Penguins. I'm not ready to write the Islanders off yet either against the Canes or the Capitals. And so what about tonight, Lou? Forget about all this. What about tonight, Canes and Caps? Wow. I got the Capitals.
And Gabriel, I got to tell you, I mean, because I had a series bet with Carolina plus 140, and I'll be honest with you, if I could go back, I'd take that series bet down to play it series by series because I'm not getting any real advantage from my series bet to tonight's line. And honestly, I believe that Washington is flawed this year. I believe they can't just turn it on. I think in the last game in the third period, we saw Ovechkin start to snap. I think we're starting to see Washington get pissed off because they want to turn it on. But after a season of enjoying being champions, they may not necessarily be able to turn it on. And their goaltending has been mediocre all year long, and it continues to be that way in the playoffs by the numbers. And their defense is shoddy. So I think the Islanders are a great matchup against Washington, and Washington is ripe like Pittsburgh.
I think you raised a lot of good points there about I don't get the feel it's the same Capitals team either. I think they're going to run out of gas, but I still think that it doesn't mean that they can't win a game 7 on home ice tonight, Cam. What do you think about tonight?
Yeah, I really looked at Carolina long and hard. They've been good to me. I like the Capitals tonight. The loss of T.J. Oshie really hurts Washington, but to Lou's point, Holtby hasn't been that good. Carolina also caught some breaks on home ice that I don't think they're going to get in this game tonight. I think it's been a very, very close game, but Washington winning like a 4-2, 4-3 style hockey game, I think the Caps move on. And then I'll take the Islanders against them in the next round, hopefully. Go Barry Trotz.
All right, here we go. Islanders were 24-13-4 at home this season. 12-6-2 at the Barclays Center.
Pretty good on both.
12-7-2 at the Coliseum. So, yeah. They won one more game. Whatever, same thing.
You know, good solid team that's prepared all season long. This team has been designed for the playoffs.
And, Lou, exactly. You know what a sign of a good team is, guys? So, we said, all right, they're 24-13-4 at home. They were 24-14-3 on the road, Lou. That just shows you're all around solid. You're not relying on anything besides your solid fundamental
coach.
You can win on the road and you're at home. There's not like, they're just a really good home team, but they're flaky on the road. That's very impressive when you have the identical records like that, home and away.
Then you think about the coach, and then you think about the team being really populated by a bunch of young kids who got run out on by Tavares. And they said, fine, you leave. And now look what they got without him. It's a great story that I hope is not done yet. I have some futures on the Islanders.
Lou, gamblew.com. All right, Lou. So UFC this week, they keep coming at us, man. They keep just coming at us, UFC. Where are they this week?
In Sunrise, Florida.
Ooh, Sunrise, Florida. Okay. I saw a video of Mike Perry on the beach with his wife working out. Mike Perry versus Alex Oliveira, the return of Greg Hardy. And for a company that, it's amazing they just keep putting Greg Hardy on the co-main events. Yeah. Like, they can't deny that they're, whatever. Guy's got no experience in the UFC, but he's on the co-main event on ESPN all the time.
Exactly.
And we got Hermanson and Jacare. Jacare is like a 2-1 favorite. Do you like the card this week, Lou, from a betting perspective?
I haven't dug too deeply in it, but, yeah, I think there's some opportunity there. starting with the main event, I think this is a little too much too soon, even though Hermanson's 30. He's getting the benefit of looking like a world beater against a guy in David Branch that is really well past his prime, a journeyman, slow. And while Hermanson looked great in that fight, it's recency propelling his potential to compete with a guy in Sousa who, yeah, he's 39 years old, but this guy is a master Brazilian jiu-jitsu submission specialist whose striking has come leaps and bounds. This guy has a single point of focus to fight for the title. He hasn't been able to do that. And I think this is a really, really dangerous spot for Hermanson because Sousa's is too focused and he's not going to lose sight of his goal. He's been told if he wins this fight, he's going to get the winner of Adesanya and Whitaker. And he believes that. I'd like to believe it because he's earned it. And this is a terrible spot on short notice for Hermanson to come in here, who especially has threatened to want to try and play ground and pound with probably the most lethal fighter in the UFC on the floor. So this is a bad recipe for Hermanson. I'm surprised Sousa, or Jacare, let's call him that, I'm surprised he's not 250 or 270.
Yeah, I'm surprised too a little bit. I was when I see the number as low as minus 180 at some spots. You've been pretty good, Lou, and better than pretty good, damn good, at getting a read on Mike Perry and how he matches up against people. How do you think he matches up against Alex Oliveira?
Gosh, I can't wait to watch it. You know, the thing is that I think Oliveira is a more well-rounded fighter, but he doesn't necessarily like to be bullied. And there's only one thing that Mike Perry can do, and that is a one-dimensional brawler that's going to come right at you and try and bully you. So I think it's a pretty decent spot for Perry. I struggle which way I want to go with it. It's going to be the best fight on the card.
Lou, gamblew.com. Thanks for the time, Lou.
Lou, always a pleasure.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Back to live action, basically. Got the Washington Capitals, Carolina Hurricanes, Game 7 on the board here this evening, as well as a couple NBA games, elimination games here tonight. We're talking about hockey, but holy crap, an epic performance from Damian Lillard last night. And there's been a lot of talk, ooh, Russell Westbrook this, Russell Westbrook that, blah, 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 but you know, there's always got to be – people like to play the blame game as opposed to just saying, whatever, man. Damian Lillard was on fire the entire series, yep. Cam. And, you know, listen, man, I'm happy for Lillard that
– I am too.
He's flown under the radar for years. And it's like people are surprised now. Oh, my God, Damian Lillard did this and that. It's like, man, Lillard's been doing this for years, really. It's just he plays in Portland. Nobody really notices. But it's amazing to me that somehow Lillard now is some, like, you know, playoff hero and Westbrook's a chump when Lillard had lost 10 straight playoff games before this.
It's amazing.
He literally,
forget, right?
Yeah, the knockers, oh, McCollum and Lillard, these guys will never win. They can't win. You know what I mean? They never win in the playoffs. They win. We live in an era, Cam, now in the NBA. Let's just be real. The three-point shot either goes in or it doesn't for some teams, yep. And that's the difference between them being heroes and losers. Simple as that.
It's becoming a lot like college, Gabe, and we've seen the same thing. Like me and you, we watch college basketball. You go up and down the floor, three-pointer. Gone is kind of the day of the inside, you know, presence, bumping, grinding, baskets underneath. It's Steph Curry. He talked to him about establishing that type of game. But you're right. In all sport, it's all three-point shooting now. It never used to be all that way. People used to go inside a hell of a lot more.
But yeah, Portland, props to them. A hell of a Lillard, that jump shot at the game.
Injured too. They got injuries, man. Good on Portland.
They'll be in trouble as the playoffs go on, though.
That's true.